point in the message tonight. And so Ecclesiastes chapter 5, let's look what it says in verse number 1. Keep thy foot when thou goest to the house of God, and be more ready to hear than to give the sacrifice of fools, for they consider not that they do evil. What are we supposed to do when we come to church? We're supposed to listen. Listen to the preaching, and listen to the Holy Spirit speaking to us. Amen. Listening to what God is telling us. Be not rash for thy mouth, and let not thine heart be hasty to utter anything before God. For God is in heaven, and thou upon the earth. Therefore, let thy words be few. What a great lesson. What a great message. Hey, let your words be few. When you come to the house of God, come to receive something, hear what God's trying to tell you, and be careful what you promise God. Amen. For a dream cometh through the multitude of business, and fool's voice is known by a multitude of words. When thou vowest a vow unto God, defer not to pay it, for he hath no pleasure in fools. Pay that which thou hast vowed. Better is it thou shouldest not vow than thou shouldest vow and not pay. Suffer not thy mouth to cause thy flesh to sin, neither say before the angel that it was an error. Wherefore should God be angry at thy voice and destroy the work of thy hands? For on the multitude of thy dreams, many words, were also diverse vanities, but fear thou God. Again, what's the most important thing? Learn to fear God. Fear God. Be careful what you promise Him. It says, if thou seest the oppression of the poor, and violent perverting of judgment, and justice in a promise, marvel not at the matter, for he that is higher than thee, than the highest, regardeth, and there be higher than they. And verse 8 is where we're really taking everything from. And this ideal of some things to consider. He said, marvel not at the matter. Well, we've seen a lot of things, especially this last year. And we're going to see a lot of things in the future. And we got to take time to consider sometimes what is being played out before us and what is really happening. So let's pray and we'll get into the message. Father, thank you for the word tonight. And I do pray that you bless it. And I pray, Father, as we, Lord, consider some things. And you said, marvel not at the matter. Lord, don't be amazed. Don't be strucken by it. Lord, these things are going to happen. We're living in the last days. The spirit of Antichrist is well upon us. And we're going to see a lot of things we never dreamed we'd ever see, hear, or experience. And God, I pray you just take the word and bless it and help me to bring it. And Father, I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, in a way of review, we made mention of keep your foot, keep your mouth. Amen. And keep the message and fear God. How important is that? And then last week we looked at the matter that confounds and we dealt with the prosperity of the wicked. And sometimes it's hard to see the wicked when they prosper. It's hard to see those who are doing evil and doing the wrong thing and seemingly they're unscathed and they're not having a problem. But the truth of the matter, they are. And we talked about the corruptness of the country, the complacency of Christians, and sadly enough, the coldness in the church and the compromise of the clergy. We never believed we'd ever live to see what's happening in this nation with the church, especially, you know, we had some great awakenings in this country and we had some great revivals. But, you know, those things are many years behind us. And it's sad to say they are. They talk about that one great revival they had here in the 80s and the 90s that went on for weeks. Went on for weeks, 6, 8, 10 weeks, and it was so wonderful. And it was at Highland Park, and God just seemed to come down, and souls were saved, and lives were changed. And Chattanooga was a better place as a result of it. But that's been quite some years ago. That's been 40 years ago. And you can't live in the past. You know? We got to live in where we are now, today. And we're not in revival. We're in apostasy. We're not in we're not advancing. We're in retreat. We're in decline. The whole nation's in decline. And when we think of the Bible Belt, my goodness, the Bible Belt is the best of what there is. What's happening everywhere else? They're really in trouble. And what a sad thing it is. So our text, let's read this verse and we'll pray. And did I pray already? I don't think I did. Did I pray already? Okay, I prayed already. I got Alzheimer's. All right. So verse number 8, he said, if thou seest the oppressing of the poor and violent perverting of judgment, justice and a providence, marvel not at the matter. Now, again, the matter that confounds, the prosperity of the wicked, but the marvel that consumes. The marvel that consumes. He said, marvel not at the matter. Marvel not at the matter. For he that is higher than the highest regardeth, and there be higher than they. Now, why not marvel at the matter? Because we got to be careful when we're looking around. It's easy to look around and lose focus on what we're really supposed to be doing. Well, they're not doing it, and they're not doing nothing, and they're not doing nothing, and they're not doing nothing. Doesn't the Bible say that people that measure themselves by themselves are not wise? Listen, we can't begin to make comparisons when it comes to other churches. It doesn't matter what other churches are doing. It doesn't matter what other Christians are doing. What matters is what you are doing and what God is asking of you. Just because others can do things doesn't mean God wants you to do it. And just because others have turned away or forsaken or done something doesn't mean it's right. You know, I used to love when the kids said, well, everybody's doing it. I said, no, they're not, because you're not doing it. Everybody's not doing it. You're not doing it. And I'm not doing it. And mom's not doing it. So don't say everybody's doing it. Everybody's not doing it. There's a lot of people not doing what you're talking about. And, you know, it's easy. You know, the brethren get together and we talk. And we say, well, what are you doing, Brother Chris? And what are you doing? And what are you doing? And what are you doing? Because we're all a little curious about what everybody's doing. Because we all want to justify what we're doing. Right? I said, well, yeah, we're doing, you know, we may not be, but we're not doing that. Right? Well, listen, you can't compare yourselves with yourselves. You have to at all times say, God, what is it you want me to do? And again, we can't marvel at the matter that consumes. Because you get studying what everyone else is doing, and you get caught up when everyone else is doing, all of a sudden you're not doing anything either. And you will lose focus. And everything we're supposed to do around here is for the souls of men and for the honor and glory of Jesus Christ. That's why we come together on the Lord's Day. To worship the Lord. And Mark 16:15 has not changed. Go ye in all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. I assure you, that has not changed. And Acts 1:8, he said, and ye shall be witnesses to me, both in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the world. What our dear brother said this morning is God had to break up the church in Jerusalem for the simple reason that they had lost their focus. Their focus should not have been, we're having one big happy party in Jerusalem. That is not why God saved us. God saved us to go into the uttermost parts of the world. God saved us to go out from without the camp. And, you know, and they had a church of 50,000. The dear brother, I said on Wednesday, had really advocated to merge our church with theirs. And really said, Brother Chris, why can't we just merge together and be one big church? Well, the simple reason is because God didn't tell me to do that, number one. And I don't think one big church in your area serves our area. I personally think we ought to have a church in every area. You know, and multiplication through division. You know why big churches have splits? Because they were never intended to be that big to start with. God has to break them up. Just like big companies have to be broke up. When Ma Bell getting broke up was a good thing for all of America. And I guarantee if they ever break up Facebook and YouTube and Twitter, it will be good for America because they're too big. They need broke up. And God never intended for there to be mega churches. Hey, we need some of these mega churches to break up and go somewhere else and start other churches in areas where there are not any. You know, the sad thing is, I hate to see one church build another church right next to a church that's already there. That never made any sense to me. You know, you go up Lakeview Drive and there's seven churches on Lakeview Drive. And you're thinking, why are there seven churches on Lakeview Drive? And now we need another one? I agree, the exposure's good because people see it. But that's not exactly what we need. Right? And the one thing I did like up north, there was usually one Baptist church in each city. One. You didn't have no big selection. You know, if you want to go to church in Loveland, well, in the city limits, there's only one. That's Bible Believers. Now, Brother Joel's church was actually considered Milford, and Loveland Park was actually considered Sycamore Township. And so there's more Baptist churches today than there was, and there's probably three or four now in Loveland. But at one time, for years, for 20 years, there was only one church in Loveland, one Baptist church. And, you know, I think God intended, really, for us to spread out and to go out, and for our focus to be bringing people to Jesus Christ. Now, I will say this. Even though we have 500 churches in Chattanooga, we have more than five. We have 500 Baptist churches and plus everything else. If everyone went to church in Chattanooga, there still wouldn't be enough churches. That's the truth of the matter. And so we're not. Are we in competition with anybody? We don't have to be in competition with anybody. There are souls all around us that are dying to go to hell. You know, it's kind of like that during the Civil War. A young man went out there. He's fighting for the Confederacy, and he came back and he had 100 Union soldiers captured. And the captain said, "Where did you get them?" He says, "They're everywhere. The woods is full of them." Isn't that the truth? You don't have to go far to meet a sinner. They're everywhere. They are everywhere. And why people would want to fight over church members and try and lure other church members of their church is beyond me. I have never tried to do that. I've never visited other people's church members trying to get them. Now, we've had a lot of people do that to us over the years. And without any shame. And I think to myself, with all the sinners you got around where you're ministering, why do you want to try and get our saints out of our church? It doesn't make sense. Why people would drive all the way to Ottawa to go to church doesn't make sense to me. Because who are you going to get to go with you to Ottawa? Nobody. Who are you going to get with you to go to Cleveland? Nobody. I believe in a local church. And I believe we all ought to be 5 minutes from church. I do. And I think if you're 5 minutes from church, you can be effective. And you can minister in your community. You know, in 5 minutes, we can be in Fort Oglethorpe, right? 5 minutes, we can be over in Brainerd. In 5 minutes, we can be in East Lake. You know, these are the areas we want to draw from, right? Because it's right around us. And there's no shortage of people to draw. I mean, Anchor of Hope could fill up their church, and we could fill up our church, and Stanley Heights could fill up their church, and Unity could fill up theirs, and Delray could fill up theirs. I mean, every church in this area could fill up, and there'd still be thousands to come to Christ. I mean, right here in East Ridge, almost 30,000 people. So, are there any shortage of sinners and people to reach? Not even a shortage of any kind. And see, it's keeping your focus. You know, Mark 5:19, the maniac Gadara got saved. He wanted to follow Jesus. What did Jesus tell him? He said, "No, go home and tell your friends what great thing God has done for thee." The way the church grows is by the membership bringing someone with them. Ministering where you are. Mark chapter number 5, if you look there, and then we'll go to Luke. But it's ministering where you are, making a difference in your community. You know, trying to get your neighbors to come, trying to get your friends to come, trying to get your relatives to come. Mark chapter number 5, and just reaffirming what I just said there, so you know I'm not, and I do misquote things from time to time, but Mark chapter 5, and more than I like to admit, verse number 18, look at 18. "And when he was come into the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. Howbeit Jesus suffered him not, but saith on him, Go tell home to thy friends, and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee, and hath had compassion on thee." Now look over in Luke chapter number 8, Luke chapter number 8, and again, it's a retelling of the same story. But in Luke chapter 8, you get the rest of the story, kind of like Paul Harvey. Luke 8 and in verse number 38, and look what it says. Now the man out of whom the devils were departed besought him that he might be with him. But Jesus sent him away, saying, Return to thine own house, and shall great things God have done to thee. And he went his way and published throughout the whole city how great things Jesus had done unto him. And it came to pass that when Jesus returned, the people gladly received him, for they were all waiting for him. You know the one thing about being a great sinner? When you get saved, you're even a greater witness for Jesus Christ. Because no one can argue the radical change. Everyone knew this man. He was a maniac. Everyone had seen him naked, cutting himself. Everyone was terrified of him. And all of a sudden, he's transformed. And everyone knows it. And he said, hey, Jesus is coming back and we need to be ready when he comes. And don't you know the whole city was waiting to receive him. They saw this man who was past getting any help, impossible to help, how God had changed his life. And you know what? They wanted what this man had got. And they were waiting. Can I tell you? Everyone has friends in your sphere of influence. And if your Christianity is real and you're a witness, people will want what you got. Sometimes they'll secretly want it. Even though they don't want to openly express it, they secretly want what you have. And many times we think, you know, if we invite people, they won't come anyway. You'd be surprised. Some of the most unlikely candidates might really believe on Jesus Christ if they were invited. A man came to church and everybody was shocked that he came. And someone said, well, you know, we never thought in the world that you would come. How come you didn't come before? He said, well, no one ever invited me. How do you know if your neighbors come to church unless you take time to invite them? Now, I know, hey, I think we ought to know who our neighbors are. I think we ought to know their names. And I think we ought to care for their souls and pray for them. Now, I don't know all of our neighbors' names, but I know the ones that live in houses. The ones that live in apartments are always coming and going, right? But I know some of them that live in the apartments because they've been there a while. And I know their names. We speak to them, have communication with them. We have interaction with them. You say, why? Because they're my mission field. And guess what? Your neighbors are your mission field. And this church can only grow if we are ambassadors for Jesus Christ. And, you know, you have to reach the ones that you can reach, and I reach the ones I can reach. And that is onus is on every one of us. Nobody's exempt. And we all have to be doing our part. You know, sometimes we talk about churches that don't do their part, but what about Christians who don't do their part? God expects every one of us. It doesn't hurt anybody to get a handful of gospel tracts and go and pass them out in your neighborhood. Can anyone do that? Anyone can do that. We have a handful of gospel tracts, and you say, well, no, it strikes a nerve. When Devin was going out passing out them gospel tracts, oh, man, it was striking some nerves. And Christian people, so-called Christian people, who go to church, calling up and complaining and tell me how illegal it was to pass out a gospel tract, I said, I don't think so. You're violating my civil rights. I don't think so. This is still America. Get over yourself. Well, it's an assault if you put a gospel track on my car. Assault of what? Assault of your windshield? I said, get a life and be real. They had that little gospel track, God's last name isn't damn. He said, that's cussing. I said, sir, tell me you haven't used worse words. Tell me you don't watch TV and hear all kind of filth and cussing. Tell me you're a Boy Scout and you don't cuss. He said, well, I said, yeah, right. And God's last name isn't Dam. And I'll tell you right now, that's the number one track that Fellowship Track League put out. And more people came to Christ with that gospel track than any other gospel track. Because everyone uses God's name in vain. And it has struck a nerve in your life, and you know it. Oh, yeah. I love to hear a high-minded hypocrite tell me why the gospel is so offensive. The gospel is offensive to those who are going to hell. The offense of the cross. You ever heard of it? You ever read a Bible? You see, we lost our focus. What are we supposed to be doing? John chapter number 1. And again, the reason our churches, we have to go out and reach people. John 1 and verse number 40, it says, "And one of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first findeth his own brother Simon, and saith unto him, We have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted of the Christ." The people we're supposed to work on first is our family. And really make an effort to get them to come. And he brought him to Jesus, and when Jesus beheld him, he said, "Thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas, which by interpretation is stone." The day following, Jesus will go forth into Galilee and findeth Philip, and Philip saith unto him, "Follow me." And saith unto him, "Follow me." Then Philip was of Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip findeth Nathanael, and saith unto him, "We have found him of whom most in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." Then you find your friends. Nathanael said unto him, he was skeptical, Can there any good thing come out of Nazareth? Philip said to him, "Come and see. Come and see." You say, what's he doing? He's inviting them. The whole reason of Bring a Friend Day was for you to invite friends and family to come. To get them to come and see. And, you know, it is an effort to try and get family and friends to come. Because you have to win them to you before you'll ever win them to Christ. And it requires a little bit of effort to call them up, to interact with them, to be a part of their life. Now, I'm just like you are, right? What's the easiest thing to do? The easiest thing for me to do is sit at home and enjoy being with Miss Lisa. And I'll admit it, I enjoy that. But I know that God said, hey, you're telling people that they should be a witness. Where are you a witness? Who are you inviting to come? I said, God help me, Lord. I need to invite my neighbors to come. And I have invited them to come. And some of them have come. Some of them are watching from week to week. I said, God, I need to make an effort in the people that you've given me to interact with. And some of them are hard as a rock. But you know what? The Bible says that rock, the hammer breaketh the rock in pieces. Every rock can be cracked. And the gospel can crack any rock. And kindness and goodness can make anyone melt. And that's something that we're all supposed to be doing. Because we sit around and say, well, this is a lost cause. This generation's lost. There's no point. They cannot be reached. That's a lie. They can be reached. But we got to keep our focus, and that's souls. That woman at the well said, "Come see a man which told me all things ever I did is not the Christ." And the whole city came. The whole city came to see Jesus. But it's easy to get caught up in all the nonsense and forget what our primary duty is. And that is to tell people they must be born again and to be a witness. Now, I know we haven't had a visitation night in a long time. But, you know, whether we have organized visitation or we don't have organized visitation, God expects us all to go out and do something. One thing about getting King's Kids going again is me and Miss Lisa have been out on Tuesday night talking to the families. And although my natural man says, I hate this, The spirit man says, thank God we're doing this again. There's something about giving gospel tracts out. Don't you feel good when you give out a gospel tract? Don't you feel good when you tell someone about Jesus? Man, the spirit man loves that. And see, that is what it's easy to lose your focus. We got to keep our eyes upon Jesus. You know, looking on Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down on the right hand of the Father. Hey, we got to run this race with patience and look unto Jesus. And otherwise, we lose our focus. I know things are falling apart all around us. And people marvel at this thing because it consumes. You know, you can sit there and watch Fox News and you can keep shrinking into your little cocoon. You know, I'm going to build an ark and save my family. God didn't tell you to build an ark and save your family. God told you to go out without the camp bearing His reproach and to take up your cross daily and follow Him. But see, what was the problem in Ecclesiastes? Hey, you're looking around, you're seeing things aren't going on, and you marvel at the matter. And then you begin to shrink because it begins to consume you. We don't need to lose our focus, and that soul is, we don't need to lose our fight. So many are giving up. Paul said, I fought a good fight, I finished my course, I've kept the faith. Now, we can't do anything about what everyone else is doing. We have to worry about what God is doing with us. Is that not the truth? And this Elijah complex that people have. You know, we're the only ones left that are serving Jesus. That's a lie. I guarantee you there's 7,000 that haven't bowed the knee or kissed the ring of Baal. And the Bible does say, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. But see, you have these self-fulfilling prophecies. Because, you know, no one's going to come to Christ because no one's going to try and reach them. If we don't try and reach them, nobody's going to come to Christ. And again, it is easy, especially through this pandemic, to stop doing anything. I'll be honest with you. I entertain the thought of just going to a Sunday morning service with nothing else. Permanently. And it was an easy thought to entertain. Very easy. I've talked to quite a few preachers, and they all think it's a great idea. And I talked to the Lord, and the Lord said, I don't think that's a great idea at all. That's the truth of the matter. I thought about no more Sunday school, no more Sunday night, no more Wednesday. Let's have a Sunday morning service. Because that's what's happening across this nation. And I promise you, had we gone to just the Sunday morning service during the pandemic, that's all we would have in the future. Because it's easy to withdraw and hard to move forward. You ask people after you go just to one service on Sunday morning, how y'all feel about going back to Sunday night, or do you like it the way it is? Everybody's shaking their head. Yeah, we're liking this Sunday morning only. Talked to one man. He said, Brother Chris, I'm loving this church TV. Man, I got my pajamas on. I'm eating my Fruit Loops. Hallelujah. And I'm multitasking. I'm looking on the phone, I'm doing this. You're not going to church at all. No, I said, we're going to be keeping Sunday morning and Sunday night and Wednesday. And as easy as it would have been to never have Sunday school again, I said, we're keeping Sunday school. Can I tell you how easy it would have been to eliminate the bus ministry and never do that again? That would have been super easy to do. But that's not how do you reach people when you have no outreach? How do you reach people when you have no intention to reach people. It's easy to lose our fight and give up. I told one dear brother, he said, "I'm so mad, I'm so upset." I said, "Stop watching Fox News. Stop watching CNN. Stop watching MSNBC. Stop watching all the nonsense. Because you're marveling at this thing. And it's consuming you. We know we're living in the last days. We know everything's falling apart. But even when the lines are breaking, if you don't keep fighting, the whole thing will collapse. Any strategy of battle is to make the middle lines collapse. Or if the flanks collapse, you have to hold the line. And God's not asking it. God has not sounded the trumpet of retreat. As much as we would all maybe enjoy that, if we were honest. Wasn't that enjoyable last night with the ladies' meeting? Hasn't King's Kids been a joy? I mean, even having them kids on the bus has been a joy. Now, I'll be honest with you. It is work. And it can create some anxiety. Especially the first couple weeks, there was a lot of anxiety. You say, "Brother Chris, did you feel anxiety?" You better believe I felt anxiety. I haven't driven a bus for a year. And I haven't had them snotty-nosed brats on the bus in a year. And yeah, there was anxiety. And there was apprehension. But can I tell you, there was joy at the end of the night. Because it felt good to do something for Jesus and to be in the fray. Retirement sounds good to all of us, doesn't it? But the day of rest is coming when Jesus sounds the trumpet. It's not now. And I think people are confused when it comes to that. Hey, the Bible says, in some having compassion, making a difference. We can still make a difference in our generation. They got a mission board over here, Austin Gardner's Mission Board, Vision Baptist. And we all lament and say, you can't get nobody to go to the mission field. That's a lie. They're training young men up left and right to go to the mission field. I mean, they're the fastest growing mission board anywhere in America. And they are having training conferences. They built a training center. They're having all kind of things, trying to earnestly recruit missionaries to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And they are having great success. Where everyone else is closing the doors. What does that tell you? Because the marvel that consumes is, hey, we lose our focus, we lose our fight, and we lose our fire. There's got to be some fire in the belly. You say, what is that, zeal and love? What was the problem with the church in Ephesus in Revelation 2? You know, they lost their first love. The fire had gone out. Can I tell you, we need to stoke the fire. Stoke the fire for souls, stoke the fire in our services, and stoke the fires in our homes for Jesus Christ. We got to add fuel to the fire. Because the fire is burning pretty low after COVID. I mean, COVID changed the landscape like a nuclear bomb went off in this country. And it brought everything to a screeching halt. With one exception, and that was the live streaming of services. Perot, our neighbor in Trinidad, was on watching the service this morning. And I always rejoice when our friends from Trinidad are watching. Because you say, what? The gospel's going out. As I said, we are seeing the great falling away. At the same time, we're seeing a great awakening. Online streaming is providing great awakening for people to hear the gospel all around the world. We always said that Christ will come when the gospel goes into all the world. The gospel is going into all the world. And we always said there'd be a great falling away first. And COVID-19 has provided that. Because closed churches and people shrinking and empty buildings, we're fulfilling both at the same time. And I think to myself, I don't want to lose my fire and my zeal and my burden. I want to have a care. I don't want the psalmist where he said, no man cared for my soul. I want to care for people. And even though there's so many crazy people out there. I was over at Sam's the other day. Don't I always tell you the lunatics are drawn to me? Man, they are. They really are. And I came out from Sam's and I said, you know what? I'm going to go to Sam's today and I'm going to get the stuff that we need. And I said, I'm going to do something I never do. I'm going to get me a slice of pizza from Sam's. I've never done that. You can get a slice of pizza and a Coke for, I think it's $2.25 or something like that. It's cheap. You can get a hot dog and a Coke for a dollar something. Right. A big hot dog and a Coke for $1.50. And I thought I was getting one piece of pizza. They gave me two big pieces of pizza. It was a huge. It was a third of the pie. Or a quarter of the pie. And I said, man, I'm going to enjoy my... I'm going to walk around. That's another reason not to wear a mask. And eat my pizza and freak people out. So I did. I walked around, ate my pizza. I wasn't the only one there doing it. There are a lot of people in there doing that. And I was so... Man, I said, man, we got the stuff. And I was joyfully coming out. I even got me a soft pretzel. Now, I was too full to eat it after that pizza. But I said, I'll save that for later. And I was walking out with it. And this guy's over there by a Mercedes. Mercedes-Benz. And I'm just walking out there, and I see he's out there. And I'm thinking, well, he surely couldn't want nothing for me. That's his Mercedes-Benz. That wasn't his Mercedes-Benz. He said, excuse me, sir. I said, yeah, what do you need? You need a jump? You need a boost? What do you need? I'll help you. He says, well, I hate to say this, and I hate to admit this, but, you know, and I hate to beg because I'm not a beggar, but... And I thought, oh, here it comes. Is there any way you can help me with a room at the night over here at the town end by the Toyota dealer? And he's standing by that car. I think it's his. And I said, well, Lord said, yeah, go ahead. I said, yeah, I can help you with a night. I'll help you. And he said, well, how about you just follow me over there? He said, well, let me call my wife. I said, why are you calling your wife? Why can't you just follow me over there? He said, I don't have a car. I walked over here. I said, okay, you walked over here. Okay. All right, I get it. You walked over here. I said, now it's making sense. Now it's coming to me. Right? You've been over here begging. You walked over here to beg to get some help, right? And it was a divine appointment with me and you. Okay. I said, all right. And I said, well, get in the car. I said, you hungry? He said, I'm starving. I said, here, I got a pretzel. I just broke up one piece off, one small piece off here. He said, oh, thank you so much. So he's gobbling down the pretzel and saved part for his wife. Get over there, and I thought, man, alive. I gave him a gospel track. All this I did for thee. You know? And he's going to say, why aren't you going to tell me a story? And I said, you know, a sad story. And I said, okay, go ahead and tell me. And, you know, and I said, okay. And I get over there, and we get up there to pay, and the lady said, you know what? Good day for you. You're all paid up because you've stayed for 30 days now, and all you owe is $2.50. I said, good change! $2.50! I mean, praise God! $2.50! I didn't verbally express that, but if you could have saw how I felt on the inside. And I got too happy about that, and the Lord says, now, you're so happy about that, now I want you to do something else. And I said, that's today. And I said, and we talked, and I said, okay. And I said, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. The Lord just told me to take care of Saturday and Sunday for you, and I'm going to do that. It was $120 even. I said, fine. Boom. I said, now, you all hungry, right? He said, oh, we're starving. We ain't got nothing. I said, look, get in the car. Let's go to church. And we'll get you some food. And we did. He said, I need a job. Bad. And so I called a buddy to see if he could get on over there. And he said, no. He said, brother, let me think about that. And then I thought, you know what? There's a vacancy now at the tire shop. I said, what kind of work do you do? And he started telling me the kind of work he did. I said, you ever done anything at a tire shop? He said, yeah, I worked at the tire shop down there on Rossville Boulevard. I said, okay, I can get you a job. You could probably start tomorrow if you're serious. Had some prayer with him. I went down and talked to Juan at the tire shop. I said, now, Juan, you're not mad at me because I got Mike that other job. You're not mad at me. He said, no, I'm mad at you. I said, what if I brought you somebody who could start tomorrow? He said, bring them at 10 o'clock. Bring them at 10 o'clock. I'm prepared to give a guy a bicycle so he can get back and forth. I said, now listen. I said, the Bible doesn't say this, but it teaches that God helps those who help themselves. Got the information for the wife to get on it at a supplier at Volkswagen. I said, if you were serious and you want to work, there are jobs everywhere in Chattanooga. And I mean everywhere. Now, the guy had a problem because he don't have no ID and can't get one. So he's got to work for cash. But that's okay. That's a cash business. I said, if you want to work, you can work. If you want to, he said, you interested in coming to church? He said, yeah. I said, well, call me Sunday morning. I'll pick you up at 9:30. Now, you know I didn't bring anybody at 9:30, right? And he didn't call me. I messaged them. They didn't message me back. I called them and they hung up on me. But you know what they did do? They did get the gospel track. They did get the gospel track. Now, and I don't mind that. I would pay to get the gospel to somebody. Isn't that what missions is? Isn't that what missions is? But I thought to myself, God put me there at that exact time to talk to this guy and his wife and to their father-in-law. Does God expect us to be a witness? Does God expect us to have some fire? Does God expect us to give of ourselves? Of course He does. You say, why? Because I want to make a difference. And you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make them drink. But at least I led them to the water. At least I did that. And if they die and go to hell, what do you think God's going to remind them of one day? God's going to say, I sent the pastor of Fellowship Baptist Church to your footsteps. I sent him to you at the exact moment, the exact hour, the exact minute to tell you how to be saved and to be born again. And they will not be able to say, no man cared for my soul. Right? And I say, God, I did my part. I tried to make a difference in their life. And you'll never go wrong making a difference in somebody's life. That homeless guy up here. All you got to do is drive Ringgold Road. You'll see him laying in front of the Arby's or somewhere. You will always see him laying somewhere on Ringgold Road. You know, you can't help but see him. And you talk about a unthankful, ungrateful, good for nothing. I mean, you know, and... But you know what? I still felt good to get him a sandwich. I felt good to give him a gospel tract, even though he threw it on the floor. I said, you did that against your own soul. And you'll not stand before God and say, no one tried. Because someone tried. We need to be making a difference every day in someone's life. And I promise you, if you'll pray and say, God, help me to be a witness, God will bring people to you. You won't even have to work that hard. But when He brings them,
He expects us to tell them something and to give them something.
Don't marvel at the matter, because it's going to consume you. Don't say, I'm going to build my ark, I'm going to go in my cave, I'm going to save myself. That's not what God's commanded the child of God to do. God's commanded us to be on the front lines, saying, stand your ground, stand your ground, stand your ground. And to continue until Jesus comes. It's so important. Let's stand for prayer. Miss Susan, you come play a little something. We'll say amen and we'll go home. We'll finish that up, not next week, but the week after. There's some things to consider. And I'm telling you, after COVID, there's some real things to consider. What we're going to do and if we're going to continue. And I say, as the one brother said, let the church roll on. Let the church roll on. Continue thou in the things which thou hast learned. And that's what God wants us all to do. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for the word. Pray that you bless it. And God, I pray you help us all to continue in the things that we've learned. Continue in the things that we've done. Lord, to be a witness, to let our light shine, to care for souls of men. Lord, to tell people what great things you've done for us. Lord, I pray you speak to all of our hearts that we do our part. And God, we love you.